Welcome to Crooners and Coffee Shops, everyone. My name is Heather. Today I have Zuzu here from Soraya. We're very excited to have you here. And to start us off, we'd love to hear a little bit about how you got started in music.
Well, actually, I have a picture on my desk from when I started singing to remind me that I've wanted to do this my whole life. Since I was in second grade, I wanted to sing and I wanted to sing on stage, and that didn't come from anyone in my family. Nobody in my family before me did that. My father was a doctor. My mom was a banker. My grandparents weren't that. Like, it just was something I wanted to do, and I did it in second grade. And ever since then, I've wanted to do it. I probably lost courage here and there or got distracted with other things. But by the time I was in high school, I was in a band. I was playing drums because I thought I didn't have a good voice. I thought either you were born with a good voice or you weren't. And I have a dark, dusky voice. So it didn't quite fit the female characters that were happening in plays. And my brain, as weird as it is, decided that that meant that I was not a singer. So I became a drummer, and I was a drummer in rock band since I was a sophomore in high school. So, you know, then I lost music by the time I was gotten into an addiction by the time I was 17. But as soon as I got sober, right back to drums. And then I went to my first love, which was singing. And I've been singing ever since. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's such a long journey. And like, it's always funny to hear about, like, you know, no one in my family is musical at all. And just this passion came into my life. And, you know, once you go that route, I feel like, you know, obviously life is going to have its twists and turns and such. But, you know, music is always all around us. And it's yeah. Luckily one of the easier things, I feel like, to get back into.
Yeah. I think it was just a calling, and I didn't question it because I was so young. You know, I think as we get older, we start trying to be safer or trying to do what we think will make other people happy or is practical. But music called to me from a very young age, and I believed it. So, you know, my soul wants that. So.
Yes. And we're happy to be able to have this conversation with you today from you sticking with it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you guys just released a new album, Dig Your Roots, and it is amazing. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. For any of our listeners who have not had a chance to rock out to it yet, would you kind of like to give us a sneak peek as to what we should be expecting lyrically and instrumentally?
Sure. Well, I'll talk about Dig Your Roots. And can I also talk about the single that just came out too?
Absolutely. It's kind of like for them.
So absolutely. I think Dig Your Roots came out March 13th of 2020, which was right as the pandemic was shutting everything down. We were already on tour. But musically, it was just, you know, with every album we grow, and as long as we stay together, and that album was a growth and it was an evolution into hearing things differently. We had been produced by Steven Van Zandt. We had been produced by John Bon Jovi earlier than that, and several producers, and then Jeff Sanoff, who we work with now. And so you start hearing music differently after you've worked with people who put their insight into what they hear. And you pick up things as you go and record. So Dig Your Roots is definitely an evolution from Dead Reckoning, which was the album before that that came out in 17, and the singles that came out before that. And so I feel like musically it runs the gamut. It runs from like really hard rock all the way back to like almost pop, Beatles-esque kind of songs like Don't Have You, which is a ballad, and even a little bit country vibe to it, which I think all the artists that I love have that. Like there's this part where we're free enough that we don't have to put ourselves in a certain box of what we have to sound like. So, I mean, our harder rock and roll songs is like, you know, we basically call ourselves garage rock because we look back to the roots of rock and roll. And we build on that blues and even early gospel, soul, all goes in Motown. I listened to Motown for years. Me and my co-writer have listened to Motown for years. So all of that kind of goes into the writing. And my main writer, we write together a lot. I think I had another writer on this record with the guitarist. And we wrote a little more of like that, like early 2000s garage rock / like I'd say like hard rock. So it's like hard rocking, but it's also very soft and accessible. And we cover Nothing Compares to You, which is a Prince cover on there too. So it's kind of, like I said, it runs like different genres. And then lyrically, it's definitely, again, an evolution. I think as I write and as I continue to write, I get more and more honest and less hesitant to share who I am with the world. And I'm very autobiographical in my writing. Sometimes I write things I see. I definitely write from the perspective of myself, how I view the world. It's just, to me, the only way I know how to write right now. I'm not against writing any other way. It's just how I, particularly my style. So it's definitely, again, like a little more honest and a little more depth to it. And then I started getting into, on that record, a little bit of like really looking at allusions, like kind of putting into metaphor some of the, I'm a big literature nerd. So a lot of the lit that I've read in high school and college and after and poetry, I've taken those thoughts and those ideas and incorporated them a lot into songs that were on Dig Your Roots. And Tight Lipped, which is the newest release, definitely was inspired by, you know, some literature and some allusions to, like, you know, mythology and stuff like that. It's just like the English teacher in me comes out. But I like putting it in a way that makes sense. Like, I don't deliberately do it, but it comes out when I think, oh, it was like so-and-so. It's just the way my brain like registers. So yeah, it's every time we release a record, as long as we stay, like I said, as long as we stay together, we just keep growing and growing and adding. It's like a plant that just keeps growing other parts and drops off and grows another, you know, part. It's an artist. The life of an artist is constantly changing, and sometimes it's two steps back and one step forward, but a lot of times it's just forward steps, baby steps.
Yeah, such is the adventure of life. It's always, yeah, like you True. Said, yeah, like two steps backwards and then you get propelled five steps forward at some point when you least expect it, and you know, you don't have control over it.
No
Yeah.
But and the more you like kind of go with that flow with writing and anything else, but especially with writing, it's not such a battle. That's what I'm learning just by myself as a songwriter. Just let whatever comes out, come out. Don't judge it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like when it comes to, like, I love how you say that your songwriting is autobiographical. And I love the fact that you include some literature aspects, because, like, I am a book nerd and I love hearing those little tidbits, like, just kind of when you least expect it, you know?
Yeah.
And hearing people's influences and stuff. And, you know, when you're so authentic and, or just like in your music itself, it's very obvious. And, you know, it's appreciative for us music listeners and music lovers.
Thank you. I'm glad.
Yeah, absolutely. So we kind of went in, you kind of mentioned a little bit about your music taste, but who or what kind of influences your style?
So many. I mean, for me, I listen to, like, I'm sitting right next to my record player and I just went vinyl shopping with a good friend of mine named Sarah and her husband, Jake. They turned me on. They're like, you got to listen to Gojira, which is like death metal. It's like death metal. And I don't listen to death metal at all. And I was like, all right, let's check it out. And I love it. And then Joe Strummer, I'm a big fan of The Clash. I love that 70s. Like, anyway, so I'll listen to that stuff and it kind of subconsciously gets into whatever I'm writing at the time. You can tell what I was listening to by certain albums, but musically, very much so, Travis, who's my main co-writer, he's the music part of it. But there's something about his, and he's very different. He listens stylistically to, like he'll listen to, like, I always say the Misfits and the Cramps, but that's kind of what he used to listen to. Now he's like into the OCs, and he's always turning me on to new bands, Band of Skulls, which is not a new band, but is a band that I knew about, but really didn't listen to until he told me. He's like, listen to this part. Now listen to this part. We should write something to kind of, like, it's cool, like a switch, like that. They switch like that, you know, like not like ripping off, but like, you know, ideas. And because he does that, I start listening to them. So I think for me, it's always different for writing. For singing, I love power singers. Like, I love like rock and roll. Like, I love Otis Redding. I know he's not considered a rock and roll singer, but to me, like, his style of singing, the aggression, and that he could also be vulnerable, like sitting on the dock of the bay versus something like Shake, you know, those songs are very different. And that's influential to me. Like, anything, like you talked about being authentic, anything that spoke to me authentically, Joan Jett, I always mention Joan Jett because I'm such a fan, and she's just so tough, and you can hear it in her voice even more than her. I didn't even need to see her. I knew probably what I thought she looked like anyway. You know what I mean? Just from her voice. And to me, that means it's authentic, and you can't like kind of put that in a package very easily. You can't really make it digestible to everybody in terms of how to market it or something. But I think like those singers, so if I had to name, I'd say Otis Redding, Joan Jett as a singer. I'm a big fan of Mahalia Jackson. Only recently, to be honest, did I discover her a few years ago. Gospel singer, predates the blues. And then Howlin' Wolf, I'm a big fan of Howlin' Wolf. Let's see, Janis Joplin. I just forgot that I was such a big fan of Melissa Etheridge. I never named Melissa Etheridge ever. And I was like, you know what? I love Melissa Etheridge. I love like the 90s Melissa Etheridge stuff that I, you know. And then I know there's a bunch I'm not naming. Tina Turner is a huge influence, just her style, her voice, her life. I love Heart. You know, if I have to name like more female fronted or female acts, big fan of Jack White. And anybody that really sings to that grid, I love Motown. I love like all Motown. I can't really sit here and say specifically. The Four Tops are probably my favorite act out of Motown because he had that like gritty, husky voice. I forget his name, the main singer. It's so crazy because at one time I could rattle off trivia to you about them. That was ridiculous, but no room in there anymore for it. So I'd say all of those things influenced me, but mostly like that authentic sound, that authentic like voice. It doesn't even matter the musical style.
I really like the fact that, you know, you have a relatively diverse like musical style, musical interests and such, because I feel like, even like you mentioned that, you know, you can tell which albums I was listening to when I was writing and recording these songs and stuff, because, you know, I feel like anything that is in the creative bubble and such, we're just influenced by so much. And, you know, what I've noticed with the modern music industry and modern artists and such, like you're starting to see a shift in terms of what they are releasing out on mainstream or just whatever they want to release. They're a little bit more confident and like, you know, I want to write a pop album and I'm going to do it and stuff.
Yep.
Because I'm influenced by these albums right now. So I'm just going to do it and it makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like that whole idea of like, you have to fit into this mold so we can sell you. Although it makes sense, I guess, from a business perspective, it doesn't make sense artistically at all. Early on, I tried to fit myself into different categories based on what people told me I should be, or I look like, or I sound like, and it never worked. And it didn't work for a reason, because it did not connect, because it wasn't authentic. Like I'm big on like, you know what, I'd rather have 100 people in a room that were really there and felt what was happening in that show than 100,000 that I could sit here and go, oh, I sold out 100,000 seat arena. Like, you know, I mean, like to me, the like great satisfaction that you get from that for me is necessary for me to keep going. The other one wouldn't keep me going. I'm not a milestone in terms of like numbers person, you know, I don't know. Like I've met artists that are like that and that's fine. It's just not what I want to do.
Yeah, everybody has their own personal goals and everyone should also respect that as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. So kind of going into, you know, you've mentioned that you're a huge fan of Joan Jett and Heart. And unfortunately, in regards to like female fronted bands or even women in the rock music industry, do you feel like there's a reason why women feel more comfortable not only in a solo setting as opposed to a group setting, but in specific genres that are quote unquote female focused?
Let me take the first half of that with saying, are they more comfortable in a solo versus band setting? I think that that was part of the question. And then that was the genre specific. I think it is difficult in my group. I'm the leader. It's definitely my band, but it also is very collaborative. Myself just trying to walk the line between just honoring what I want to do, but also honoring other people's voices is a very difficult line to walk. And I don't know about other women, but for me, I started out being very pleasing and like, okay, we can try that. And maybe we can do that. And then I resented people. And now I've turned into that like, nope, you know, no, we're not going to do that. Sorry. You can do that in your solo project or what, you know what I mean? I don't say that, but I think that like, you know, but I, and doing that is difficult. I think as a woman and being honest, it's difficult for me to feel like I can do that. But as I've stayed doing what I do, it is impossible to not do that and be happy. And not always happy, just be gratified as an artist and feel like there's some of me in that. There's plenty of things we've released a long time ago that doesn't have much of me in it at all. And that did not feel good. And it was an album that was, you know, supposed to be the thing that was going to launch us. And I was like, I'm not even in that. Like, there's nothing of me in that, you know, and that didn't work for me. And I think it's very easy as a female to listen to what other people, because you have what you have ahead in front of you. Like, if there was no Joan Jett, if there was no Hart, if there was no Pat Benatar, if there was no Tina Turner, if there was no Courtney Love, if those women, if Chrissy Hynde, I know I'm leaving people out, but that doesn't matter. But if they weren't ahead of me, you see what I'm saying? Like, there's no, and you're not going to convince business people, but artists themselves need to hear something that speaks to them. And then aside from that, you have to stay true to your vision. So if you're not sure what your vision is, I think you're going to be in trouble. And I think that I get disappointed when I hear, personally, I get disappointed when I hear bands that are either female fronted or all female that sound like they're trying to sound like so-and-so. It's like you've been put together for that reason. And again, that might be fine with others, but as somebody who really, really understands the importance of genuineness and integrity in art, it just, listen, that's the doorway that got me into a lot of other bands, but I'm not going to listen to it now, you know? So I think it's just as important to have people out there that are walking the road to, like, you know, it's a long way to the top if you're going to rock and roll kind of thing with, because it is, I think, sadly misrepresented at times how artistic, no matter what gender you are, that there's equal footing. I think in the rock world in particular, I'd love to see more female artists and more female fronted acts, and not even female fronted, just females in them. And, you know, I walk this weird line, Heather, like between like feeling like I don't feel like women should be called out because they're women. They should just be great, you know? But the reality is that there's still this idea that if a woman's really good, especially at a musical instrument, they're like, wow, that girl's good on her instrument. Like, that's not to be expected at all. She should suck and just look good. I mean, I'm just being honest, and what I hear, what I've seen from different levels of people in music. And I try to keep my focus on knowing that, like, I'm just an artist, and I'm not only an artist, but I have a unique voice. I have something to contribute, and I have to keep going, and I have to be an example. Like, that's a huge responsibility. You have to be an example to the people that are looking at you that want to do what you're doing. So I think as a woman, that's an important weight to carry on your shoulders, walking that line between wanting to be, you know, attractive and fierce, but also wanting to be taken seriously and maybe also laughed at times, like just be human, you know? Yeah. I'm not intimidated though by whichever gender it is. So I think I've gotten my knocks long enough that I know better than to do that now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it like, I really like how you mentioned, like, it's a tough weight to carry on your shoulders as someone who is, you know, potentially going to be someone that a little girl goes to your show. And it's just like, wow, I want to be just like her when I grow up kind of thing. And like, it frustrates me when you mentioned the, wow, she's so great at her instrument kind of thing, because I hear it too here. Like, I don't play an instrument. And when I did go to shows, you know, pre-pandemic,
yeah,
it was very rare that you would see even a badass lady in a band and stuff. And everybody just like radiates to her, like, wow, there's a girl in this band. And it's like, yeah, because she's great at her instrument. Like, they don't just have her there because she's a girl.
Yep.
And such. And it's like, yes, she's beautiful and she's talented, but she's not there for the looks. And that is something that women in the music industry, you know, unfortunately, we have the double standard of like, yeah, you can be talented. You can be extremely talented, but also you have to conform to what industry standards are in terms of women in this industry. And it's frustrating.
Yeah, it's funny because I think about our drummer, Brianna Sieg, And we had all male drummers before her. And when she came in, she was such a double threat. Like, not only was she amazing on the drums, I mean, solid, you know, and she played to a song, which is rare to find, you know, play, really listen to the dynamics of a song. And then she also sang ridiculous backups. And I was like, that's a no-brainer right there. You know what I mean? But there were plenty of people saying things about, like, two girls in the band. You think that's going to be okay with you? Like, are you going to be okay with that? Like, some of that attention. And I'm like, wow, okay. She's great at her instrument and she sings great. But, like, just like, you know, there's as many opinions, you ever hear that saying, like, there's as many opinions as is blank, you know? So it is what it is. I mean, I kind of just accept it and go with the flow now, but, like, I'm proud to have, like, a female in my band that's that good. And, like, that's, I'm just proud to have a musician that's that good. Like, my, all the players in the group are just ridiculous. So it's just an honor. But yeah, it'll probably always be that way. Aren't I, like, a negative person? But, like, I feel like there's always going to be a little subtle something there, at least in my lifetime. I hope as time goes on, there's just more and more females flooding to do what they want to do, you know, whatever it is, be a scientist, mathematician, teacher, like, whatever. I just want people to feel empowered. When there's female in label positions of power, there's going to be a shift. You're going to see different bands coming to the surface. It's just, you'll see, it'll just be amazing. Diversity will be a big thing. It'll be nice.
And I'm ready. I'm excited. So
me too.
I think a lot of us are tired with how the industry has been run.
Yes. So yes.
We are ready for that shift. So I wanted to ask you kind of like a fun question, you know, after discussing a relatively heavy topic. If you could choose three artists to go on a world tour with, who would you choose and what would you name your tour?
Okay, so I think I'd go on tour with Joan Jett, Jack White, any of his projects. I like Dead Weather Raconteurs and White Stripes, which I don't think I'll ever get back together, but still, any of those. And or just Jack White, his solo stuff. And who would the third one be is the real question. Actually, I wouldn't mind going with the Pixies, a reunited version of the Pixies. I love the Pixies. I was a big Pixies fan. And what would I name it? Probably just a Mosh Kosh Bagosh tour or something like that. it's ridiculous because, like, none of that seems to work except, like, you know what I mean? Like, just, like, pick your flavor kind of thing, you know?
But it does work in a way.
There's not really moshing going on with any of those bands, but you could. Maybe with the Pixies, but I don't know.
You'll be surprised at, like, one of my favorite bands is Cartel. And I wouldn't necessarily say that they are a I'm going to mosh to your music kind of band.
Right.
But they did like an anniversary tour for their 10-year anniversary of their debut album. And like there was moshing and I was like, what is happening? You do not mosh the Cartel. Will has the voice of an angel and this is just weird.
So that's cool though, that's so rock and roll.
You never know where the moshing is going to come about.
yeah because it's like that's a rock and roll show, right? That's what I miss, is like just the uncertainty and like, you know, like anything can happen in that moment.
Right. Ready for concerts to come back. So far, all of my concert tickets that I bought, you know, 2 years ago at this point are still scheduled.
Yeah.
Crossing fingers that they stay that way.
They will. I think they're coming back by fall latest.
I think so, too. It's looking up. Are you in LA as well?
No, I'm in Philly.
Oh, you're in Philly. I hope everything is like, you know, getting pretty good with the vaccinations and stuff. Out where you
are. Definitely. How is it in California now?
We're getting there. They just made an update regarding the age group. So anyone that's 16 and over can now be vaccinated. It used to not. Wow. I think they capped it at 18. So that's actually really, really good.
Yeah, that's progress.
Yes.
That's a lot. That's fast. Because in February, that wasn't the case here.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rolling out faster than we thought it was going to be. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, for sure.
Good sign for everybody. So.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, what is your biggest accomplishment, whether in music or outside of music?
I feel like just showing up and writing a song every time I do is my biggest accomplishment, because everything in me fights against it. It's like, it's oddly this thing I have to do, but at the same time, I will procrastinate as long as I can. And I have a really good deal with my co-writer, because he basically is like, here's 18,000 ideas. And I'm like, I have to write to one of them. Like, I have to do it. So it's, to me, like, just, you know, at some point I'm not going to be here anymore. And I think about that and I'm like, I not only wrote this song, but then we went as far as to bring it to a group of musicians who then brought it to a recording and then released it into the world. And you never know. Like, I'm also a really big fan of The Doors and Zeppelin. Those are like my staples. I'll go back to them often for like a month at a time, maybe every 3 years or something, they're like staple bands, I call them. And I think like The Doors, like, did they even think that they were going to be, you know what I mean? Like, they're affecting generations to come to that degree. So I think writing the song is the seed, and then the band is like the ground, and then everything else happens for that growth. And it's not easy. It doesn't get easier in time either. Like, it's still the hardest thing I do. I'm doing it today, so it's still the hardest thing I do. Shut that critical voice off. So I think that's my biggest accomplishment. I mean, we got into Billboard and Loudwire recently, which the little kid in me is like, you got in Billboard and Loudwire and you made a killer video. Like, you know, and those are accomplishments. But the personal showing up to write the song is still how it all happens, you know? So that's my biggest accomplishment, and it's ongoing.
Yeah. I mean, little things in life, you know, writing a song is not a little feat. I can't write a song. And, you know, everybody that writes songs, I appreciate you and your talent.
I bet you could write a song.
I don't know. I would have to like really sit down and hunker down. I've been trying to write a novel for like a million years, and tried writing it during pandemic, got like a couple of chapters in and realized I don't want this trauma in my life anymore. So I'm scrapping it.
That's okay. I do that with songs all the time.
It's totally okay. You know, the fact is that you tried it. That is all that matters.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Just follow that gut. It knows where it's going.
Absolutely. Life is too short to not try to do the things that you keep saying you want to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what we're here for.
Yes. Yes. And what do you hope that your audience will take away from your music?
I want them to realize they're not the only one that feels the way they feel. They're not alone. And through shows and everything like that, I want them to feel connected. I want them to hear a song and feel connected. And I want them to feel empowered to change their lives in whatever way they want to, or to go about their lives in any way they want to, that they're free, you know, like they don't have to be something for somebody else, or they don't have to like something for somebody else, like just be themselves. So I hope that they hear that in the message of the songs. And I think more and more as we write and we keep releasing new material, that will be something they'll hear more and more.
Yes, absolutely. And I have zero doubts that that will happen.
Thank you. I hope so.
Yes. And to end off the interview process, I know you just released a single, but you know, time is of the essence here, and we have no concept of time nowadays. So what other things should we be expecting from you in the near future?
Well, you're definitely going to be seeing shows soon. We have our first one booked for June in New York. And then we have a lot in fall. We're supposed to be going overseas in fall, hopefully. If not, we'll reschedule it to spring of 22. But I think we're going at the end of October to Sweden. And then we have some shows with Joan Jett coming up in November in New York. And we have Philly shows coming up. We're probably going to go on a short tour of the West Coast a couple times, probably early fall. And then we have already booked a few festivals locally in PA and New Jersey for the fall. So our fall calendar looks big. We have a July calendar set up. We're still waiting to find out if those shows are happening or not, but the June one is, so I'm guessing they are. But so the touring, we're writing an album right now. We're finishing writing an album that we started during quarantine, but I found like a lot of those songs, I didn't like them because they were written during quarantine. And, yeah, I think we're writing an album, and there's probably going to be another single before the end of the year, aside from the one that's out now, and then another Christmas song too, and then an album next year.
Woo, lots of exciting things, and we cannot wait. And if you head out to LA, definitely hit us up.
I definitely will.
I'm ready to be out there. I'm ready to mosh.
Yes. Me too. I'll join you.
Yes. Zizi, it was wonderful to have you on here. Where can everybody find Soraya online?
Our main site is soraya.com. It's S-O-R-A-I-A. And then any social media, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook is Soraya Rocks. S-O-R-A-I-A. R-O-C-K-S, all one word. So you can find us everywhere.
Woo! And super easy to remember too, because it's true.
It is true.
It's the truth. Soraya Rocks, everyone.
And thank you.
And to get into our coffee shop appreciation portion, here at Crooners and Coffee Shops, we love our coffee and we've been doing our best to support our local coffee shops throughout this pandemic. Today, I went to Barclays Coffee and Tea, and that is in Northridge, California. And they have the cutest coffee shop. They have, like, it's very much like, you know, old school loungy. They've got an electric fireplace, super cute, super aesthetic. Love it. And I got myself a cheddar chorizo croissant, and that was delicious. And their specialty latte is the Mocha Borgia, and it's got Mexican chocolate in it, and it made me happy.
That's what coffee shops do.
Yes, coffee brings joy, or I guess any type of caffeine. Tea brings joy. I know my fiance is like a energy drink fanatic, so you know most people in the entertainment industry is some kind of caffeine addict.
Yeah, you kind of have to be,
right? We've got so much going on all the time. Zizi, do you have any recommendations, any coffee shops that you would like to shout out in Philly?
There's this one like right down the street from where I live in Pittman, New Jersey. It's like literally right down the street from me. And I just can't remember the name. Where are you? End Grain Coffee Roasters is my shout out. And they're in Pittman, New Jersey, and they have the best coffee in the world. That's basically what they say. And I'm a big flat white fan. So that's my drink.
I love myself a good flat white.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so easy to mess them up.
Espresso. Yeah.
It's so easy to mess them up. It's crazy.
Yeah, but that's my suggestion, and that's my drink.
Woo.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. All right, Zizi, it was awesome having you on here. An absolute pleasure, finally.
Thank you for having me. It was great. Great questions. Fun interview. Thanks.
Yeah. We're hoping that you stay safe out there in Philly. And to our listeners, stay safe out there, everyone, and stay caffeinated.